بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. انکسار و افتقار کا حظ حصول مقامات کے حظ سے بڑھ کر ہے. حضرت مولانا گنگوئی رحمہ اللہ کا ارشاد ہے کہ اگر کسی کو ساری عمر کی محنت و کوشش کے بعد یہ معلوم ہو جائے کہ مجھ کو کچھ حاصل نہیں ہوا تو اس کو سب کچھ حاصل ہو گیا. اگر مقامات طے بھی ہو گئے تو ان کے طے ہونے میں وہ حظ نہیں جو اس سمجھنے میں ہے کہ ہم نے بھی کچھ بھی راستہ خطا نہیں کیا. گویا تیلی کے بیل کی طرح ہے اور یہ حظ ہے انکسار اور افتقار اور عجز و عبدیت کا. انکسار و افتقار کا حظ حصول مقامات کے حظ سے بڑھ کر ہے. حضرت مولانا گنگوئی رحمہ اللہ کا ارشاد ہے کہ اگر کسی کو ساری عمر کی محنت و کوشش کے بعد یہ معلوم ہو جائے کہ مجھ کو کچھ حاصل نہیں ہوا تو اس کو سب کچھ حاصل ہو گیا. اگر مقامات طے بھی ہو گئے تو ان کے طے ہونے میں وہ حظ نہیں جو اس سمجھنے میں ہے کہ ہم نے بھی کچھ بھی راستہ خطا نہیں کیا. گویا تیلی کے بیل کی طرح ہے اور یہ حظ ہے انکسار و افتقار اور عجز و عبدیت کا. انکسار و افتقار کا حظ حصول مقامات کے حظ سے بڑھ کر ہے. حضرت مولانا گنگوئی رحمہ اللہ کا ارشاد ہے کہ اگر کسی کو ساری عمر کی محنت و کوشش کے بعد یہ معلوم ہو جائے کہ مجھ کو کچھ حاصل نہیں ہوا تو اس کو سب کچھ حاصل ہو گیا. اگر مقامات طے بھی ہو گئے تو ان کے طے ہونے میں وہ حظ نہیں جو اس سمجھنے میں ہے کہ ہم نے بھی کچھ بھی راستہ خطا نہیں کیا. گویا تیلی کے بیل کی طرح ہے اور یہ حظ ہے انکسار اور افتقار اور عجز و عبدیت کا. ارشاد: جس کے اعمال ظاہرہ و باطنہ مجھاج شریعت پر ہو اس کی صحبت سے استفادہ کرے. اصل چیز اعمال ہی ہے اور حدود و سنت کے اندر رہ کر جو کیفیت پیدا ہوتی ہے تو وہ بعض مرتبہ اتنی لطیف ہوتی ہے کہ خود صاحب کیفیت کو بھی اس کا ادراک نہیں ہوتا. جس کے اعمال ظاہرہ و باطنہ منہاج شریعت پر ہو اس کی صحبت سے استفادہ کرے. اصل چیز اعمال ہی ہے اور حدود و سنت کے اندر رہ کر جو کیفیت پیدا ہوتی ہے تو وہ بعض مرتبہ اتنی لطیف ہوتی ہے کہ خود صاحب کیفیت کو بھی اس کا ادراک نہیں ہوتا. چھوٹوں کو بڑوں کی تعظیم اور بڑوں کو چھوٹوں کے ساتھ شفقت کرنا چاہیے. اگر چھوٹے اپنے کو بڑوں کے برابر سمجھنے لگے تو وہ اسی دن سے گھٹنا شروع ہو جائیں گے اور بڑے اگر شفقت کا برتاؤ نہ کرے بلکہ بڑائے کے غرور میں تکبر کرنے لگے تو وہ بھی گھٹ جائیں گے. اسے ہی بے اثر بڑوں کے تابعین کے متعلق کسی نے کہا ہے: سگ باش برادر خورد مباش. اور جو چھوٹے چھوٹے بن کر نہ رہے ان کے مطبوعین کے متعلق کسی نے کہا ہے: فرد باش برادر بزرگ مباش. واقعی اگر چھوٹے بڑوں کا مقابلہ کرنے لگے تو بڑا آدمی گدھے سے بھی بدتر ہو جاتا ہے کہ سارا بوجھ اسی پر لادا جاتا ہے. عوام پر توجہ کا اثر ہونے کی وجہ: ارشاد: توجہ کا اثر اس پر ہوتا ہے جو اپنے آپ کو محتاج اثر سمجھتا ہو اور اپنے کمال کا مدعی نہ ہو. عوام پر توجہ کا اثر ہوتا ہے اور خواص پر نہیں، کیونکہ ان میں احتیاج و طلب ہی نہیں تو خود اس کے مدعی ہے کہ دوسرے ہمارے محتاج ہیں. توجہ کا اثر اس پر ہوتا ہے جو اپنے آپ کو محتاج اثر سمجھتا ہو اور اپنے کمال کا مدعی نہ ہو. عوام پر توجہ کا اثر ہوتا ہے اور خواص پر نہیں، کیونکہ ان میں احتیاج و طلب ہی نہیں تو خود اس کے مدعی ہے کہ دوسرے ہمارے محتاج ہیں. منتہی کے اس کہنے کی توجیہ کہ میں کچھ نہیں ہوں. ارشاد: منتہی کا یہ کہنا کہ میں کچھ نہیں ہوں آئندہ کے مراتب معرفت پر نظر کر کے کہنا صحیح ہے، کیونکہ منتہی جو ہے وہ تو کمالات موجودہ کے اعتبار سے ہیں جس پر اس کی نظر نہیں، اور سب مراتب غیر متناہی ہیں. چنانچہ حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کو باوجود اعلم الناس و اعرف الخلق ہونے کے حکم ہے کہ آپ ترقی کے برابر درخواست کرتے رہیں. بقوله تعالی: قُل رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا، منتہی کا یہ کہنا کہ میں کچھ نہیں ہوں آئندہ کے مراتب معرفت پر نظر کر کے کہنا صحیح ہے. انکسار و افتقار کا حظ حصول مقامات کے حظ سے بڑھ کر ہے. حضرت مولانا گنگوئی رحمہ اللہ کا ارشاد ہے کہ اگر کسی کو ساری عمر کی محنت و کوشش کے بعد یہ معلوم ہو جائے کہ مجھ کو کچھ حاصل نہیں ہوا تو اس کو سب کچھ حاصل ہو گیا، اگر مقامات طے بھی ہو گئے تو ان کے طے ہونے میں وہ حظ نہیں جو اس سمجھنے میں ہے کہ ہم نے بھی کچھ بھی راستہ قطع نہیں کیا، گویا تیلی کے بیل کی طرح ہے. اور یہ حظ ہے انکسار اور افتقار اور عجز و عبدیت کا.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. سمعان السین حضرت جنید بغدادی رحمت اللہ علیہ عافیت پاسوان آسم ہاؤ ڈیڈ گو ود یو، ہز ریپلائی واز فنیت الحقائق والانکشافات وما نفعنا الا رقیعات في جوف الليل. He says that all those مقامات positions etc. that people dream of, so that was nothing, absolutely. So the only thing that came to my rescue was the few rakats that I should read the tahajjud. What is mafhoom, what is explained, that no matter what maqam, what position you see yourself to be in, and after all that, all the striving, all the effort, etc., and the person thinks nothing of himself, I'm so nowhere. So this feeling that I'm nowhere, this is even greater than the feeling of my position. They say what one Japanese, so around the 60s, they had come to the Marcus, and by his wondering that he strived, that he did so much, so now where am I now? So this feeling of where am I, this feeling is a feeling of pride. So it's not like going to school, studying, and then thinking, oh, now I'm in matric, and now I've got a diploma, I've got a degree. It's not like that. Right at the end, the person feels that I'm nowhere, then inshallah, then this is the actual thing to be attained, right? Because this is the result of ijz and inkisari. The actual thing that you're supposed to be, the experience that you're supposed to be going through is the experience of being nothing. I'm nothing and I'm not entitled to anything. I'm nothing and I'm not entitled to anything. So that feeling that I'm nothing and I'm not entitled to anything, that feeling and the joy of that, it surpasses all these other experiences. See, insan has been created for that. ما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. To show total, absolute servitude. Not to show eligibility, entitlement. Rather to show worthless for nothing. So right to the end, to feel that, to have that feeling established and rooted within you. So that's about the greatest thing that you can feel. Right? See this feeling of understanding and being certain that I'm nothing. One of my ustadis should say, if you would say, all right, this person has hurt me, I'm going to catch him on the day of Qiyamah. He says, how shallow the statement is. Because on the day of Qiyamah, or after death, you depend on the grace of Allah Ta'ala. You don't depend on action. You depend on the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Now to feel that, no, I'll catch him and I'll take all his amal away, that's stupidity. That. Yes, you depend entirely on his grace. How it works. Ask yourself, that sacrifice you are making, the exertion that you exert yourself, tahajjud, Quran Sharif, namaz, zikr, etc., right? So, the grace for doing all that comes from Allah Ta'ala. It's not of your own. It is because of the blessings of Allah Ta'ala that you're doing this thing here. It's His blessing that's making you do this, then how can you call yourself to be eligible? The fact that you're in namaz or whatever, all that is His grace, His blessing. If it's His blessing, then actually you need to be thankful to Him that He blessed you like this. He didn't humiliate you by putting you into sin and wrong. He would have humiliated you and put you into sin, transgression, and indecency, right? But He saved you from all this and He brought you here. So that is His grace. So, it was His grace. Now, how can you call yourself eligible? That was grace. Now, like He has blessed you here, then you hope that He'll bless you there as well. Like He's blessed you here to save you from humiliation and disgrace, then a Muslim's heart is like Allah has blessed me here, then I hope that He'll bless me there as well. So your mind is not reliant on your actions and your deeds. Rather, it relies entirely on the blessings of the grace of Allah.
تعلیم استغناء قلب. ارشاد: قلب کا تعلق نہ دوستوں سے رکھے نہ دشمنوں سے، مگر حقوق سب کے ادا کرے.
We explained this before, so what is different words. A Muslim has got about four levels of purification, right? So one is min al-ahdasi wal-anjas, to purify yourself from visible impurity, right? And then to purify yourself from ritual impurity. Or you say hadas, hadas asghar, hadas akbar. So you purify yourself from visible, and number two from ritual impurities. Ritual impurity, like ghusl, right? Faraz ghusl, right? It's called a ritual impurity. But you can't see. Can you see the impurity? You can't see it. But You count yourself to be impure until you have ghusl. So this is the first one. Then the second level of purity is you purify yourself from haram actions. See, listening to haram or looking at haram or speaking at haram. So you purify yourself from haram actions. Right? Second level. Right? So the first level of purity and the second level of purity. Right? And they will expect of you that you keep yourself pure at all these levels. It doesn't mean that you will force yourself to be in the state of wuzu. That you will make pisab and you're forcing yourself to remain pure. That's not right. If there is a need to relieve yourself, to relieve yourself. But then try to be in the state of purity. Why do they ask you to be in the state of purity? It's because the grace of Allah Ta'ala, the tajalliyat, the warat of Allah Ta'ala, right, becomes very easily to that heart that is pure and clean. It's always pure and clean, so that heart is coming, that tajalliyat, the warat are coming. Right? I gave an example in the past. It's tajalliyat and warat, etc. Like as though you are inviting a very special guest, right? Very, very special. Say, the greatest king in the world, right? Not Trump now. Nowadays you can say, alright, in our understanding, the head of Afghanistan. So I can't see any leader better than him. Zahiran, Allah knows, Haqiqatan, but Zahiran, he seems to be the best person, right? Allah knows who's best. Right? So the greatest leader on earth you're calling, and the reception that you've arranged for him, for the Suresh there, Vireen there, etc. Are you calling the greatest, and this is the reception? Will he appreciate this? Will he come there? You just move it. Right? So you're asking for Allah's special grace to attend to you, right? And your heart or your body is filled with all type of filth. So can you receive that now? Can't receive it. So get yourself clean. Right? So I told you first level, then second level, right? Then the third level is you cleanse yourself from the inner filth as well. Inner filth is like malice, pride, ostentation, greed, malice, right? Avarice, right? Jealousy, right? So this is called the inner impurity. Kufr, shirk, it's all inner, internal impurities. And the experience of the Ahlullah shows that these inner impurities are far in excess of the external impurity. Like you talk of sewage, etc. So filthy, right? But their experience is that these internal impurities are far in excess of the external. In our language now, just imagine, right, his clothes are dirty, right, very dirty, smelly, right. But he's always good to you, he's always willing to oblige, right. Another one is dressed very smart, but you come to know that he's wanting to kill you, right. So that intention, is that visible or visible? But now, if you get to know his intention, will you take it lightly or very seriously? The scenario, you shout and you're asking yourself, right? But he's obliging, right? Sonia, you'll shoot him to get to know that. So this internal impurities, they are far in excess of the external. The strength that comes from it, not just it. Therefore, many Ahlullah, they can perceive the stench. And especially when it's the stench of illicit, immoral, indecent, right? Indecent behavior, and they can make it out. They get the stench. Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, so one person is involved in indecency, right? So he says, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ يَتَرَشَّحُ عَنْ أَعْيُنِهِمْ الزِّنَا. There's a lot of people, I can see zina dripping from your eyes. It's getting the stench. So these things that are related to the eye, right? So many a time we want to know, why is it that people have turned away from me? Why is it people don't have a liking for me? You understand? So you may be handsome, you may be good looking, right? But people look at you with disgust because they see that something not right. They can sense something not correct in it, right? Another person may not be good looking, but you feel comfort, you feel warm, you feel happy with his presence. Aisha radiallahu anha had written to her, Muawiyah radiallahu anha, when a person does wrong, right, then those that were friendly with him now become hostile towards him. Now, just now they were friendly, and now they become, the friendship has turned into hostility, right? So you see the sin, and more the sin of the heart, the inner sin. So I show you that this is a third type of impurity, right? That you need to get yourself clean from. So now these things don't come up just overnight. You know. You are talking of purities at different levels. And that purity at that different level requires quite a bit of strenuous training. Right? It doesn't just come by thinking. Right? You know, it's raw gold, right? Just mine the thing with the rock and everything. So for it to get the full value, can you just give it like that? It has to go through some processes. The diamond, it just been unearthed now, right? Can you just get the, it has to be shaped, cut, etc., get the right cut, and eventually it gets the value. So you also, the value is in you, right? The value is in you, but you have to work towards it. And the work requires some effort, some exertion. Right? So that's the third level. The fourth level is Azlul Awazil Hawla Qalbi At-Tai Wa Hawal Ahibba Minhu Fi Sawdai. Right? The Rabbi says this. Says, we all have attachments, connections, things that we feel attached to, right? It's your cousin, it's some food, it's some money, right? So, you have some attachments. But there is something that is, that you're very, very attached to, extremely attached to. So, it's a thing that you can't separate yourself from. Sometimes physically, sometimes mentally, you can't get over it. Right? There's something that is very special in your mind. Right? And I gave an example in the past. It's like you got a palatial home, right? Palatial, swimming, overs, looking at the beach, you look at the dolphins and whatever you can see, right? The two beautiful homes you got. And that you build all that home for your queen, right? The queenie, you build all that, right? So the state of the art home, all the features you've got in the house, everything you can think of, you've got a sonar, you've got everything, right? But the queen is missing. I ask you, do you attach any value to that house? See, hawal ahibba minhu fi saudai. So that special love, right, that special love, that is right in the recess of the heart. And now that love is exclusive. So, what this poet is saying, that every other attachment, let it be secondary or tertiary, right? You come here, so you will feel naturally attached, right? زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَىٰ. So, there will be an attachment to other material things, right? But let those attachments be all secondary or tertiary. But the primary attachment is Allah Ta'ala. That is the, as though that love you can't share with anybody. You can't share with anybody. Right? Your heart is so soaked in His love, right, that you can't share this with anybody. That's a primary love for you. So, other things come and go. One of those things, alright, you feel a little bit distressed when they go. You feel some excitement when they come. But the attachment of Allah Ta'ala, that's too much. If something related to Allah Ta'ala is missing in your heart, you feel totally miserable. Right? So you have to bring that level of purity. That everything else is secondary or tertiary. And the primary thing is Allah Ta'ala, bring that into your heart. Like a normal Muslim, just give an example of how a normal Muslim would be practicing normal Muslim. If he missed out his Jummah, will he take it lightly? You offer him, say, 100 trillion to miss out your Jummah, is he prepared to do it? No. That is practicing Muslim. Not like someone not practicing. Normal practicing. So, he's got that. But he has to work on to that. That becomes well to the level of وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. See. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. That your muhabbat for Allah Ta'ala becomes intense. So everything will go around it. But now, the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, that's the thing that is intense. That is why you see Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in, right? So, one announcement is made with the prohibition of liquor, right? And people are still coming with the consignments, containers of liquor, imported grades, right? They're coming in. Can you imagine how many millions of things is there? And they haven't yet entered into Medina, Munawwara, and they were already priced that this liquor has been declared impermissible. So imagine the difficulty. They went overseas, bought the consignment, came right to the gates of Medina, Munawwara, and he had to understand that this has been declared haram. And immediately they destroyed it. And the Sahaba Kiram say, the wine, right, flooded the streets of Medina. For days after that, the sun or the rain, you could see the sparkle of that wine. Whereas the Arabs used to drink like fish, right? But now, what was it that just overnight just turned their mind? The same, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشُدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. The love of Allah Ta'ala was too intense. Too intense, right? Now in our context, now you think of a situation, right? See how a normal person will behave, really. If someone has got, say, 100 rands of interest, you know what I mean? I don't want to eat interest. Give it away. Now, say that person has got 100 million rand interest. Then, well, I got 100 million. What was to do? See that 50, he disposed of it. But 100 million? Why is 100 million? No? Well, it's 100 million. See, you've got an attachment. And that attachment is making him ask, He is now in a dilemma, you know, whether to take it, how to use it, what to do with it, you know, exhortation he is.
ہدیہ کو اصل بنانا اور زیارت کو تابع دلیل قلت محبت کی ہے. ارشاد, آج کل کا مذاق یہ ہے کہ تحفہ کا اہتمام پہلے کرتے ہیں, زیارت کا قصد بعد میں کرتے ہیں, گویا زیارت تابع ہے اور تحفہ اصل ہے. یہ قلت محبت کی دلیل ہے.
Visiting, but for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, like how we visit awliya, mashayikh, etc. So we visit for what? For the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So the primary reason is the person that we intending. See, the buzur, as a Shaykh Ramutlali, right? So now, we're going to visit, right? So what's the prime reason? To go and see him, right? But now, the custom has it that we're going to see a Buzurg, so we must take something and offer it to him, right? Must take a gift, right? We can't go empty-handed. So we will think, okay, so خالی گیا وہ خالی واپس آیا. So we think that you went empty, so you will come back empty. Right. The actual thing is the meeting of the saintly person. The gift etc. is by the way. As the person makes the gifting the primary thing, it's an indication that he doesn't have ikhlas. He doesn't have, because he has made those gifts the primary object for the visit. Right? If the primary object was the person himself, then he wouldn't have been interested so much about this thing yet. I gave an example in the past as well. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya and Alauddin Ali Sabiri, they were contemporaries, right? Both murid of Hazrat Fariduddin rahmatullah, Gandhi Shakar. All both come in our silsila, right? In Hazrat Sheikh Ramadai's correspondence, one of his close murids are writing up, you know, make dua that Ladala keep us on that same style of the soap as Alauddin Ali Sabiri Rahmatali, Chishti Rahmatali, right? That same thinking, behavior must be like that. And with that, the next line, and Allah Ta'ala save me and my children, Angreziyat se. Today you translate it as secularism, right? One is give us the thinking, the thought, the temperament of Alauddin Sabiri Rahmatali, that silsila, right? Allah Ta'ala rescue us, save us from secularism. Right? So the Shaykh Ramadan really, really enjoyed that dua. Right? So it's showing us now, okay, what should be the mind of a Muslim. How should he work his mind? His thinking, his thoughts, his behavior, his mannerisms. How should they be aligned? You align it, then you get the right alignment. And you don't align it, then you're going somewhere else. See, if you align it, then you're going in the right direction. And if you didn't align it, then, say for example now, there was a whole mix-up at the airport. Right? The airport, there's a whole mix-up, there's a strike going on, right? So, some of the officials now, they don't know what to do with the crowd. So, they're rushing them to the plane. So, now, it's a last flight to the Hajj, right? And they're just pushing you out because of the strike that's carrying on here. Pushing you out. And you just border on flight. Last flight to the Hajj. That was what you had intended. But midway through the flight, they tell you that this flight is going to Australia. How will you feel? They say, oh, take you to Sydney, and because of the mistake, we'll give you a 2 weeks free holiday and one additional ticket after that. We enjoy that. They say, how would you go for that? I didn't get this idea. What else is that? Same one.
آج کل مذاق یہ ہے کہ تحفہ کے اہتمام
سو یو مور کنسرن اباؤٹ دا گفٹ دین دا پرسن از میکنگ اٹ سو دا آئیڈیا از دا پرسن یو ٹرائی ٹو الاؤ دین چشتی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ تو یو نو وی سے ایصال ثواب ڈو سم تھنگ اینڈ پاس آن دا ثواب ٹو سم تھنگ سو آل علماء accept this, right? That you do something, passing off your mother, father, someone that is deceased, etc., you pass the rewards, right? It's called Isale Sawab. So, Hazrat Nizamuddin Rahmatullahi, he was in the center of Delhi, right? So the center of wealth. At that time, Delhi was like a trade port. Like how you see Dubai, right? So Dubai is like nothing compared to what Delhi was in the 7th century. So nothing, right? This was extremely wealthy. And all the tithes, the government ministers, any wealthy people, all used to come to him. You can imagine now the type of gifts he used to get, right? Gems, stones, gold, and all, right? And Alauddin Ali Sabir Rahmatullahi was living a life of austerity, nothing. So he was quite constrained. He is quite wealthy. So Hazrat Nizamuddin Rahmatullahi, he wants to do some Isale Sawab to be sent to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And as he's planning to do so, he's got the thing ready and he wants to make the Isale Sawab to Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's told to hold on. Alauddin Ali Sabri Rahmatullahi, he's got a bundle of firewood and he's sending this as Isale Sawab to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So let this finish first, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is very much attentive to this now at this moment. So let this finish now, then we'll see you. So what do you understand? It was not that firewood or the precious stone. It was this. So, don't put your mind on the gift that you... put your mind on the purity of the mind, purity of the soul.
Shaykh Muafiq Sunnat ka itiba kare. Irshad, jiske amal zahira aur batina minhaj shariat par ho, uski sohbat se istifada kare. Asal cheez amal hi hai, aur hudood o sunnat ke andar rehkar jo kaifiyat paida hoti hai, to wo baz martaba itni latif hoti hai کہ خود صاحب کیفیت کو بھی اس کا ادراک نہیں ہوتا.
The actual criterion is the sharia, right? So people talk about these terms, but they don't understand what these terms refer to. Sharia, tariqat and haqiqat, right? So all come under Sharia, whether it is tariqat, whether it is tariqat, all are part of Sharia, right? But just for ease, they say first level Sharia, then the second level tariqat, then the third level haqiqat, right? So an illustration to explain this, what it is, right? So one person wants to know, what are these three things all about, right? Then go to this masjid here and you see three people engaged in zikr, meditation, whatever, right? And just give each one shot from the back. Go, give one shot and see what the responses are, right? So he went and accordingly gave one shot So that person stood up and gave an equal shot. Gave a shot equal to this. So then he went to the second person, gave one shot. So this person here just looked for a moment and he carried on. And the third person, when he hit the third person, he actually got up, he kissed that person's hand and hit him and said, aren't you hurt? So he says that first level was the primary level. Before that level, without that level you can't progress. You have to have Sharia. Every aspect of Sharia you have to have. So the Sharia allows you, جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا فَمَنْ اِتَدَى عَلَيْهِ then فَعْتَدُوا بِمِثْلِ مَعْتُ. So Sharia allows you, وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عَاقِبْتُمْ. See that? So to revenge to the extent that you were hurt, that is your right. To the extent that he hurt you, to hurt him to that extent is permissible, right? It's your right. Then as a person is progressing in this path, then his whole behavior, demeanor, his understanding improves, right? See, now that second person, he just looked at him for a moment and carried on. Right? So he didn't pay attention. And he thought for a moment, well, whatever happens comes by the will of Allah Ta'ala. So it comes from the will of Allah Ta'ala. So why pay attention? Because he carried on. He's on tariqat, right? And the last person is on haqiqat, right? So here the inkishaf was tam. Right? Here he could see it. He could see the hand of Allah Ta'ala, right? So as though this person here was just the puppet. The one that hurt, he was just the... Or the one that's hitting, he was just the puppet, right? And the actual one that is instructing is Allah Ta'ala. By his instruction, everything happens. Right? Everything happens with his instruction. So now, when you saw him, this is a prophet now, and you saw him striking, right? So you felt sorry for him. That he must have hit you, and he must have hurt himself in the process, right? So his sight is completely on Allah Ta'ala. So his sight is different, right? But in this whole exercise, the primary thing is Sharia, right? The one that is within the framework of the Sharia, then he's on the path. And if he's moved away from the framework of the Sharia, then he has jumped the path. He has got off the track. See, like our train, right? If the train is on the track, then you can expect some progress, right? But the train is too smart. State of the art. All type of comfort, luxuries, woman. Train got everything, right? All you can dream of is what, right? Movies, everything is what. But the train is off the track. So similar now, person comes into tasawuf, you have a lot of halak, a lot of dreams, you can see light, all that, a lot of experiences, spiritual experiences. But he is not on the Sharia, right? Not on the Sunnah, right? Though he's got a lot of spiritual experiences, but is not in the framework of the Sharia, then he's off the track. When he's off the track, then he can't progress. When he can't progress himself, then how is he going to take you? How is he going to lead you? So first you have to see the person, is he conforming to the framework, to the track of the Sharia? That's the first, that's the primary thing. After that, other things will come afterwards. So take things according to the levels, right? You don't base your mind on the experiences, right? What experience he had, what experience he had. The primary thing is the track of the Sharia. You want that, and you are progressive. Right? Now you have a lot of experiences, but you smash that person, eat up his wealth, abusive, insulting. Right? Then, what do you say? A lot of experiences. Right? But he's not right. So what do you say? He's off.
عوام پر توجہ کا اثر ہونے کی وجہ. ارشاد, توجہ کا اثر اس پر ہوتا ہے جو اپنے آپ کو محتاج اثر سمجھتا ہو اور اپنے کمال کا مدعی نہ ہو. عوام پر توجہ کا اثر ہوتا ہے اور خواص پر نہیں, کیونکہ ان میں احتیاج و طلب ہی نہیں, وہ تو خود اس کے مدعی ہے کہ دوسرے ہمارے محتاج ہیں.
In our language, the simple colloquial language, you see, vibes, right? Tawajjuh. You feel affected by a person or in an environment, you feel affected, right? So now there are two levels of people that can get affected. One is that person that's got, he's got nothing. When you've got nothing, then the environment or the personality, you will feel affected in his presence. Why? Because he's got nothing. When you've got nothing, then the environment or the person will affect him. See? Why he's got nothing? It's like you've got no wealth, absolutely no wealth, right? And now you're in the presence of a person that's got too much of wealth. Won't you feel overwhelmed? So that's a person who has gone on nothing, right? Who's in desperation. So nothing to eat. And there he sees, comes across a bakery with all food and whatever. See, how will he feel? And the other person is that person who's got everything. Lines of shops, bakeries, malls, everything. If you take him to one shop, will he feel affected? He won't feel affected. So there's two classes of people. One is the person that's in total desperation, right? So he will feel affected in the presence of, right? But he's already perfect already. He's worked himself to that level of perfection, so he doesn't get affected, right? So now, It's a lesson to the salik, right? You have to be very careful of the environment or the person that you are meeting up with. Because you got nothing, when you got nothing and you see someone with something, then you can get affected. So perhaps the thing that he's got is fake, is not real, right? But you don't know, you can't distinguish between the original and the fake. Now, when you receive so much by him, then you get affected. Right? So that is now an amateur. He doesn't know. When he doesn't know, he gets affected. He's a novice. He's an amateur. He doesn't know about it. Right? But the person that is an expert already, right, working with gold daily, he knows. He knows what is imitation, and he knows what is real. Right? So his understanding will be different, and this person that is has no understanding of it, he'll see all this glitter and glamour, and he's going to get affected. Right? So that is why now that person that is coming on this pathway, he must be very careful of the association. Right? Now in our terms, it will be like reading a book or listening to one program. Right? And now that program is very appealing. Exciting, exotic, right? Eloquent, for everything, right? So now, because of the cover, you're getting affected. But you can't sense the hidden toxin that's inside. So, the amateur has to be very careful. And that's why I say nowadays, before you commit yourself to a sheikh, right, see properly, understand, see the adherence to the sunnah, the lifestyle, all that, see all that. And after you have committed yourself to the sheikh, right, then give full commitment. You may take time to see the person. A year, 6 months, 7 months, saw him from outside inward, outside, you see the person, right? Then you give your commitment. Then when you've given the commitment, then give full commitment. Right? Then after that, then don't have that mind, but he's saying this, and he's doing this, and why are you doing this, right? So then don't have a troubled and a turbulent mind. Right? That turbulent mind, see, the mind is turbulent, that brings about all the delay in the path. All the delay in the path comes with this turbulent mind. Because your mind is not absolutely at ease. Imagine now, you are driving on a road, you have big potholes, or dig holes, right? So big you can't move. So the rain, and the road is totally washed out, bridges are broken, right? So can you move? Can't move. So that's a turbulent mind, see. When you've got that turbulent mind, then you can't progress. You think you're progressing, but you can't progress. Because your mind is filled with turbulence. So you get yourself all cleared of all this thing here. Then you're on you are a freeway. Well tarred, well maintained. Now how will you move, how will be your journey? Very quick. Yeah, you can't move, moving, getting stuck. So then, once you've seen that person, then connect yourself. Then as though your kitab is that shir. As though your reference is this person here. What you're going to say, you just do that. And you're not going to move away to this person, and the third person, and the fourth person. You've got one person as a guide, just keep on. Otherwise, there's going to be turbulence on this path. And I see it, all the time I see it. It happens more to the educated class, right? Like South Africa now, everybody goes to school, all that, right? But this type of class, they can be very quickly switched off. Right? Because their mind got a lot of things. They went to school, studied something, science, evolution, etc., all these things. So their minds are not so clear. When their minds are not clear, so the first step is clear the mind. Get a clear mind. Then you see, when the mind is clear, and then you give a commitment, then you're not moving, then you're flying. See? Otherwise now, you're like a tortoise, you know, slowly. So you're getting stuck, again moving. Otherwise, when your mind is clear, then you've got no reservations, no hesitations. So these reservations and hesitations, suspicions and doubts, these are the killers on the path. And now we take it very mildly. And we don't understand. We think now that education we got a better understanding and we can move. So this what you have already stored in your mind, that has become a hurdle on the path. Because are you going to hear, listen to this one? What about this person here? What about what he's saying? What about a difference of opinion? So many things are all ganged up in your mind that it interrupted the whole journey. The whole journey was interrupted. One person showing a clear mind. What happened, right? He's come to the Mawgungwaisabrahmatai, right? Villager, simple person, doesn't know about the world. So, when I accepted him, in his village style, Mawgungwaisabrahmatai, but you accepted me, you didn't ask me about me taking cocaine, you know. Every day I must have 5 times, understand? So, in his village style, others explained him, but you didn't tell me about the cocaine that you're taking. Tujhe to puchna chahe, you must ask. The villager. So, Mashaikh, they like these people, right? They're simple. So, others asked him, alright, show me how much you take. They say, what? Itna chorna, what is this? Leave this out and leave that out. I have to leave it out, throw it entirely, finish one time. Now, he's an addict, you know. And this can be life-threatening. The person is addicted, right? But now you see that clear clarity. When there was a clarity in one stroke, it threw that thing. The mind was absolutely clear. No hesitation, no hurdles on the path. After a month he came with a big bag of money. Right? You know, Hazrat, I left this thing here, and so much I saved. Now see that when there's clarity, it says, you know, my nafs got very happy. Because see, I said, I'll enjoy, I saved so much money. Then, but this clarity, so no, I'm not going to use the money, I'm going to ask Hazrat first. Hazrat will guide me. Your father is aged, depend on him. Your mother needs something, right? Your immediate relative, depend on him, right? You haven't done your Hajj, we'll do that, right? So, see how his mind. Now, did he need a teacher? He didn't. That's why they say, if you practice that which you know, أَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. Allah will teach you, give the knowledge of things that you didn't have. So the importance of the purification of the soul, right? And the purification means, apart from all the dirt I spoke about, then the person that you have connected to, you have to have that level of attachment and bond with you. So then, removing yourself.
تعلیم و تعلم کا مقصد اصلی یہی ہے کہ آدمی خدا کا ہو جائے. ارشاد تعلیم و تعلم کا مقصود یہی ہے کہ آدمی خدا کا ہو جائے, مگر آج کل اہل علم نے صرف تعلیم و تعلم کو ہی مقصود سمجھ لیا ہے, عمل کا اہتمام نہیں کرتے, محض الفاظ پر اکتفا کرتے ہیں, ان کو قلب تک نہیں پہنچاتے. غرض علماء کو تحصیل علم کے بعد طریق سلوک یا جذب کو حسب تجویز شیخ اختیار کر کے اصلاح نفس کرانا چاہیے. ایوہ القوم الذین فی المدرسہ کل ما حصلتموہ وسوسہ.
See, the big error, mistake of this age is people are studying at a madrasa. So that learning or teaching, they misconstrue it as they got everything. But now they only at the level of learning or passing the word, right? Now imagine now a person is teaching business science, right? So he's teaching or he's learning, right? Now learning or teaching that science, does it make him a wealthy person? Does it make him a philanthropist? So that's a mistake that's done in madrasas, that the person has learned aspects of the tasawwuf, whatever, right? Learned it. When he's learned it, he feels I've got it now. But I've got it now, I don't need any other assistance. Or another example to illustrate the same thing, you have studied a driver's manual, right? You drive it. But you never get a chance to sit behind the wheel and move on the road. Can you drive? So now, it's a misconstrued. Right? You learned in a madrasa, for example, about sabr, the virtues, etc. You learnt it, right? You learnt about greed, etc. Right? So you know what it is. But does that mean now that just reading the thing made you a person with composure without any anger? Right? Made you a very contented person without any greed? Now you have to go and acquire that. Go and learn that now. Right? Until you didn't learn that, then you can't say I've got it. Like I said, you learnt about business science. Did it make you a wealthy person? Now, you need to put yourself into a training, do something, and then you will, by the grace of Allah, you will get wealth. But now you just took that knowledge and you felt, I'm enough. I got it. That's why he's saying, أَيُّوَ الْقَوْمُ فِي الْمَدْرَسَ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ حَسَلْتُمُهُ وَسْوَسَ. Up to now, you're just at the level of thinking, just a thought, right? It's just a thought in your mind. Don't think that you have got the reality. It's just an idea. Like you learned business science, it's just an idea. Right? That's not business, it's not wealth. Wealth requires another type of effort. Put yourself, humble yourself, go and learn, get that the word that is used here, just, right? With the training, it creates a little of some level of just. Just means attraction. So you're attracted to do all good. You're attracted to look after your eyes, prevent your tongue from the wrong, listening to wrong, right? Attracted to control yourself at the time of anger, maintain your composure, right? So all these things came after the training. It doesn't just come automatically. I just learnt it and I got it. So that's where the whole big confusion. You employed all your energy, employed all the energy just in the learning. As Mahat Swami Sabrahanda says, in the past the style was, the greater effort was on the tarbiyat. The greater effort was on the tarbiyat. And the lesser effort was on the ta'lim. And now it's changed. The greater effort now is, ask an ordinary person who's been to a madrasa, 10, 11 years, right? 7 years in kitabs, 3 years in hifz, right? Then 1, 2 years in takhasul, 12 years. But how many years he spent to go into the training to learn to apply these standards onto his own personal life? Ask him. You know, I went 6 months in Jamaat, 1 year in Jamaat. Then, after that, 11 years here, and here you just did this thing here, right? And that was not a full training, not a specialized training on your nafs. It was more a training to give dawah. That was that training, more training. But a specialized training on to correct yourself. Did you go for the special training to go and correct yourself? So, see all this mashayikh, we're doing the halat of Hazrat Imam Yusuf Rahmatullahi, Hazrat Imam Inam al-Islam, and how they went to the training. Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullahi, and thereafter they shined like you know, you can't imagine, more than the sun. As though they're providing the energy and the light to the entire world. You see that? But now that requires that they go through the training. After you went through the training, then you become something. But now if you know, give one bayaniya, and take out one jamaat here, do this here, like go and correct yourself. The more you correct yourself, then you yourself become a dawah. Otherwise you say, well, I'm saying something, but I don't see him so particular about the takbira ula. I don't see him that he can compose himself at the time of anger. I don't see himself leaving out things that are layan. So now, you are not an embodiment of dawah. So we becoming like a hurdle on the path of dawah. Why? We didn't go and correct ourselves. Like now, an aeroplane, right? It's meant to take you across, right? But the plane itself is not right. The plane itself is not right. Well, it attract clientele for a capacity of 400. But the thing is not right itself. All the features of the plane, but you can see that engine is damaged, something is damaged, right? Will you want to board that flight? See. So, people won't want to board on you when you are not right. Because you can see now, this person is a fake. He's a makeup. He's a suspect. Right? So and then when you got all these things right, then you are bright as a sun. There's nothing that's stopping the whole process of dawah. Many times we look at dawah and we're looking at people not responding, right? So we feel distressed and feel somewhat depressed, right? But exactly at that time, do we think now, but I've got a lot of things to correct here. A lot of things I've got. My eye is not right, heart is not right, and perhaps because of my weakness, then I'm becoming an impediment.